here. We made it to church on time. God's here. Amen. Amen. Alrighty. So, have a half an hour. Have a half an hour to jam a lot of vision. So, I need everybody to just like expand your mind and free your ears up for like the quickest download you're gonna ever get. Like, I'm talking like what, like 100 gigabyte up and down speeds right now? Like, alright. Father, I just thank you, God. I thank you for the vision and the word that you've given, Lord. I thank you, God, that you're already preparing the hearts, God, to receive, Lord. I ask, Lord, that our ears would be tuned in, ready to hear what it is you're saying, God. That we would have hearts that are receiving, God, the seed that you're planting, God. And that you would, through your spirit, water every seed so that it can germinate and grow and blossom into the fruit that you want to produce in our lives, God. We release your word today, God, to do what it set out to do. In Jesus' mighty name, all God's people said, amen. Amen. So, as we finished up last week, I made the declaration that the vision for streams is to what? What are we going to do? Love people. Because they're tasty, like chicken. Not that kind of love. Okay. Right. But that's our mission statement, right? Love God, love people, love life, and we're going to be dedicated and committed to the second part of that vision. Not that we're foregoing the loving God part, and we're not going to continue to love life either, but we're really going to focus and make a commitment to love people. And I think that's a fair thing for us to say is a goal, right? As a group and as a people, all right? Loving people, though, we addressed last week by tearing down walls that would divide us. But there is some clarity that needs to be made here. And it's very easy for us to have this, okay, I'm tearing everything down and I'm bearing it all and I'm gonna, you know, be completely free in this. And then you come back next week and you're like, Pastor, I did what you said. And, there's a lot of crazy stuff going on in my life right now. I'm gonna need you to pray. And what's going on? I'm like, well, I tore down all those walls and now I got a lot of things that I didn't expect coming on my doorstep and all kinds of weirdness and things like that happening. So I want to clarify some things, and we're going to do that today. We still have a responsibility in this love to honor God above all else. Okay. So I want to make that declarative statement that even though we're tearing down dividing walls and we're releasing the love of God, we still have a responsibility to honor God in it. Okay? So there is a impure love that dresses itself up as though, well, this is good and this is godly and this is love, but in reality, it's not. It's unholy and it's unhealthy. So we have a responsibility to still be honoring to the Lord. Amen? Okay? And then in this, we also have to put love in action, but also recognize that those we are dispensing love toward are not required to return that in the same manner. How about that? So be prepared to be an awesome dispenser of love and blessings and good things to a bunch of people who are never going to pay it back. Tough job. Tough job. But so we shall. Amen? All right? We must also be wise that there are even some who will try to confuse love and corrupt it with evil. That is why today we will clearly illustrate what love is and its ultimate purpose. Okay? So, moving forward, we're finishing up the vision cast, but we're going to bring a lot of clarity and we're going to bring a lot of understanding to, when we say love people, what love actually means. And you might have heard some of these things and you might have heard some of this message in other bits and pieces, but today, we're really going to go in deep, we're going to do an in-depth study, and we're going to really, really address some of those things that maybe if you were to go back into our sermon archive and investigate all the love messages that we've preached in the past, you could probably put it all together like an interlocking puzzle of like 1,000 pieces. I'm giving you that like kids puzzle with like the one shape. So we don't mess it up. I like simple. I think simple's good, right? Simple's good. Simple doesn't have to be hard, but it can be. But simple is clear, decisive, non-mistaking. That's what simple is. And we're going to do that today. So we're going to start with, what is love? And you can have the Hathaway song playing in the background if you want. It's all right. Look, I wrote it. I already had it. I've been there, done that. I'm just passing it on so y'all can sing along. It's gone in my head too. All right? But we're going to figure out what that is in Romans 12, verses 9 through 21. We got a lot of reading, as we have been with the vision so far. But that's because the word is good. Amen? All right, so let's start. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That's a lot, but we're going to break it down because it's not that complicated. It's actually simple. Even though there's a lot there, and all of that is love, it's simple. So if I do my job well today, everybody will get it and know all that scripture is really easy to process and break down. We'll start at the top. Ready, Dill? Back to the beginning. Love must be sincere. What does sincere mean? Sincere means pure or unmixed. Pure or unmixed. Not what you probably thought sincere meant. I know for me, it's like, oh, well, that means you're really genuine about it, right? I'm sincerely in love with this person. That means I'm genuine. I'm the real deal. A lot of sharp-dressed men going down there espousing their sincere love for a bunch of nice, pretty women. Sincere, pure, unmixed. That's not what sincere means, okay? So what does that mean? What are we unmixed or pure about? Unmixed with evil. We are not tainted. So let's start with that immediate distinguish factor. Love is God, cannot be mixed with evil, which is not of God. It is a very clear distinction. And you will probably sit there and ponder this as we move on, but keep that clear distinction always at the forefront, that love is pure and it cannot be mixed with evil. Okay? It says, hate what is evil, cling to what is good. We had this in the beginning, right? Good what? Good, just good, general? Good what? Good works, maybe? Right? If we cling to good, or we are gravitating to things that are good, the pouring out, again, love being action, is going to follow with good works. So when we hate what is evil, cling to what is good, we're setting up a precedent that we're being obedient to this mandate of love, that we are going to put it into action. It doesn't just stop with, oh, well, I feel good about myself. I did good. I didn't participate in that evil act. Therefore, I must be in God's love and I'm good. I'm good. It's not what we're here for. Okay? Next big word that's up there. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Devotion. We had that word come up already once today. Devotion is commitment. It is being committed, not this committed. not the straitjacket committed. Although people might think you might be. Okay? But being committed to this. So, I hope we're taking notes and you're writing these things down. Okay, love is this, love is that, devoted, committed. Okay? What are we devoted to? What are we dedicated to? We're dedicated to one another in brotherly love. We honor one another above ourselves. Okay? This is where this gets important. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. If you want to highlight any scripture, just highlight that one. Just highlight that one. You can highlight everything else, but maybe underline it, do something else, but that's the key, okay? We need to keep our spiritual fervor. If we are going to do this and do this well, we are going to be responsible and we're going to take ownership of it, and that's going to be required in us doing this. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. How do you keep your spiritual fervor? By serving the Lord. Love in action requires us to do something first. I cannot be a dispenser of love, and I cannot pour out love to God's people if I am not in the act of serving Him. How can I make such a bold statement? Well, you have to know what love is in order to dispense it. And so the best way to figure out and find what God's love is to serve the King. Because you receive God's love when you are in His service. You will understand that fervor that we're talking about, okay? So what does that look like? Well, here's what it looks like. It means continuing in your disciplines. Well, Pastor, what disciplines are you talking about? Are you talking about getting up at the crack of dawn and sitting before the Lord and spending time in His Word? Is that the discipline you're talking about? No. I read them all to you already. Those are the disciplines. From 12 to 20 are your disciplines. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. These are, if you like, check these all off, boom, 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 boom. And I don't mean to like turn this scripture into a checklist, but to be honest and to be clear, that's what this is actually telling you. These are the guidelines to putting love in action, okay? Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless, do not curse. Think about this. How many people, believers in Christ, get in their cars, go driving, get cut off, and behave unbecomingly? We'd never do that, right, Dave? Never. Never. We're saints in our cars. We are saints in our cars. We are saints, right? We are absolutely perfect. We don't misbehave. We don't get angry. We don't say cuss words at them. Right? We don't throw things at the cars when they cut us off. We don't do any of those things. We're good. We're good. Right? This joke. This, I want to say joke, but you know, this scripture hit me a while back when I was just a babe in the Lord. And you know, you get cut off and you want to say something, and usually old you would just yell out bad words and, you know, this you or that you or whatever. And God told me, it was like, well, you're not supposed to curse. You're supposed to bless. So it's like, bless you, as they drove in front of me. And it's like, well, that's not exactly how it works, but yeah, okay, it's a start. It's a start, right? But the reality of it is, let's go back to the beginning, right? When I open this up, we are not going to receive those things. The world isn't going to love you back. The world is not going to want to give good things to you. The world is not going to want to bless you. But that does not change our position. Our position is that we are to bless them, regardless of what we get in return. So yeah, somebody might cut you off. You know what? I'm not saying go ahead with the old Southern call, bless their heart. That's not, we know that's an insult, okay? You might as well just said some really nasty things about them and, you know, no, don't do that either. But you know what? Pray a blessing over them. Pray a blessing over them. Obviously something's going on. Obviously they got something else going on in their life. Just pray a blessing over them. That's what we're encouraged to do, okay? Another part down there, Dill. I guess we can go to the next, not the next full scripture, but the 13, I think, or I think it was 13. That next one, yep, or yeah, 15. Rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn, okay? It's easy to rejoice with people that are rejoicing, right? It's easy to get in the happy train and go, yeah! But then when somebody's not really happy, you're like, you're going to steal my happiness, I don't want that. Sometimes you have to go there because somebody who's low needs help. And we're supposed to be a source of help in that time of need. So we come to those people. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate people with low position. That's kind of just a continuation of what I just said. But here's the big kicker, right? Don't be conceited. What does conceited mean? You're not better than anybody else. That's all it means. Just because you have the love of Christ in you and you and God got a good thing going on doesn't make you better than anybody else. If anything, it means you just got more responsibility because now you have a job to do that they're not even aware of that you're doing. Because you're going to have to love them regardless of what they spew back at you. But we're not to be conceited. We're no better than anybody else. Okay? Moving on from that, do not repay evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. I bet you that's really easy. Everybody can do that one, right? Yeah. We got this, right? We can do that. No evil for evil. Be at peace with everybody. Everybody. Even Aunt Susan, who literally annoys the snot out of you and makes a fool of herself at family reunions. Be at peace with Aunt Susan. If you got an Aunt Susan, I'm really not talking about that Aunt Susan. I completely just made her up. So I'm just letting you know, if that hit home, I'm sorry. That's not intentional. I don't know you. I don't know her that well either. Okay? But let's face it. We have a dilemma because we're being called out to love people, and I can point out, no doubt that that is problematic for everybody in this entire room. Everybody. Now, Miss Irene came up to me and she was talking to me about something the Lord had put on her heart. And, you know, there's scripturally basis for things like the year of Jubilee where everything is forgiven. All debts are forgiven. Everything we hold on anybody, grudges, past behaviors, all things just whoosh, gone. In the blink of an eye. And it's like, you know, year 2020. Get rid of all of it. Get rid of all of it. Don't let any one thing separate you from any kind of preconceived judgments that will cause you to not be at peace with anybody. There's no reason for it. We don't have to carry that. He paid for that. We're supposed to bring those things before the Lord. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. Dispense them there and move on in the blessings of the Lord and the freedom to love people regardless of what they've done, regardless of the things they said, regardless of the hurtful things they might have said towards you, towards this church, towards your kids, towards whatever. It's not worth it. And yeah, sometimes we got to swallow a lot of pride. I'm going to make, like, you know, a Gatorade bottle and just change the label and say pride and go, here, drink up. Cause sometimes we gotta swallow our pride, right? It's not easy, but this is what love actually means. Okay? The examples here are not just to illustrate love in action, but this is the key, and if you read through all of this and you understand one thing, but how the opposite can have the exact opposite effect. See, what is the point of this scripture? The point of this scripture is to draw attention to the two sides of the coin. If we're going to be dedicated and committed to loving people, we cannot have the opposite going on in our lifestyle. You can't. Because here's what's evident and will show itself forward. Because the love that you go and you espouse through your mouth to somebody isn't going to mean a hill of beans when they look at your life and see the contrary is exhibited in you. I'll say that again. I can tell you till the cows come home how much I love you, but if you don't see it actually produced in my life, my actions, my lifestyle, my daily habits, how I treat not just you, but every other person I'm in contact with, you will call me out for being phony. And I would be no different than anybody else in the world. See, we have to know that the illustrations that are being provided here are to give you an understanding that when you look at love and you look at evil, they are not going to align with each other ever. There's complete opposites. And at the very end of that scripture, it talks about how do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So the one thing that you can count on when you walk out and you go, I'm committed, I'm dedicated to love in action, who's going to win? Evil or good? Good's going to win, right? We know that the outcome is that evil will be overcome by good. That's the good news. That's the only good news you're going to get today. All right. Taking a look at the beginning when evil presented itself, if you go to Genesis and you look it up, all right, and the evil plan was inserted for man, we went from being innocent, pure, and blameless to becoming guilty, naked, and condemned. If you are concerned about what God's doing and his evil intentions, thank you, brother, and his what God is doing and what enemy's evil intentions are towards man, always understand it's in direct opposition to God's plan. So, if you want to find out what's going on, and this is kind of the key, if the enemy is always going to be in a disguise, he's going to dress up as a snake. And he's going to approach you as just an innocent creature walking along. How are you going to be able to identify evil? Because it's going to disguise itself like love. It's going to disguise itself like good intentions. It's going to disguise itself to be a good idea, a good feeling, a helpful hand. How do you know that you're getting close to something evil? And here's the key. And this is, again, an illustration, okay? When God created man, we were innocent, pure, and blameless. But in the blink of an eye, we became guilty, naked, and condemned. The complete opposite. If you want to know how to identify evil, spend time learning about who you are and who God created you to be. Start learning about his character. Start learning about who he is. Start learning about what his heart is and his attitude towards people are. Because the second you know what good is, you will clearly be able to identify what evil is, because it will not line up. It won't line up. It might be 98% disguised, but there's still 2% that don't make sense. And if that 2% don't make sense, guess what? Looks like a dog, barks like a dog, eats meat like a dog, does all these things like a dog. But one thing ain't right. You can tell me that's a dog all day long. Not a dog. I know what a dog's supposed to be. It's 100%. It'll always be. Because God does not make mistakes. And this is the clear distinction that we have to come to. When it comes to this process, we must recognize that there's clear distinction between what is good and what is evil. We are not to be mistaken for acts of evil. How can we avoid this? We must recognize that our salvation is not a selfish gift to be squandered by not conforming into the image of Christ, but rather being transformed into his image, a vessel of love and good works so others may see. The bottom line is that for us to do this, you have to first surrender. A lot of what God was dealing with today was us coming to a place of surrender. It's not a surprise. By the way, I don't know sometimes I just don't know that God's going to do this. I didn't tell Dan, oh, Dan, you know, go to the scriptures and dig this up, you know, Saturday night, you know, and find things that we can really bring to the Lord, you know, to the Lord's people so that they can really become convicted and contrite in heart. And oh, Jesse, by the way, do this too so it goes in line with Dan. You know, listen, I love God. I'm really good at knowing His word. I ain't that good. And not for nothing, I don't want to bother Dan when he's got his kids and stuff going on and Jessie's got her things going on. That's not how it works. I mean, the worship team, they got a taste of it. Me and Holly are on the exact same page. I hadn't talked to Holly since almost a month and a half. Because she's busy. She's got two kids. I'm not intrusive. Okay? But the bottom line is that when God wants to get our attention, He's going to do so, and this is how He does it. And we have to be clear in understanding that when He's trying to get our attention, we respond. We respond in the way He's asking us to respond, and sometimes that means we just surrender. We put down our ideas, our philosophies, our beliefs, and what we think is how something's supposed to go, and go, Lord, what are you trying to tell me here? And then show me how to do it, and I will respond to doing it that way. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be committed to doing it the way you've asked me to do. Now, here's where this gets really good. In Acts 2. Because once we understand the big aspect of love, being in action, recognizing that we are responsible for one key point when it comes to being dispensers of love. We're responsible to make sure that it is pure and that it is God's love and it is not tainted with anything that is of the world. Amen? Because they know what that looks like. They smell funny business. Right? You ever try to come out and talk to somebody about Jesus and they don't want to have anything to do with that conversation? And you start talking, and like you might even have like the best tactic of being able to like infiltrate and bring the message of Jesus to somebody, and you're like really slick too. And you got like all this like lead up, you know, conversation starters and the icebreaker and all this stuff, and maybe you rehearse it in your basement, whatever. And you have that conversation with somebody, and the second they smell the funny business going on in the back door, they're like, oh, well, I really gotta go. I'm sorry. I have to take care of this, blah, blah, blah. And out the door they go. And God showed me something, and it's like, not that, hey, look, I'm not here to judge. I'm not here to tell you that you could sit there and rehearse and practice and get tracks and do all these wonderful messages that you bring to people and, you know, and you want to witness and evangelize. Praise God. But what I'm saying is this. It's a lot easier for you to go out and love people in a real genuine way. You know, that's a really nice jacket you got. It looks good on you. Compliment goes a long way in spreading the love of Christ. Being real, being genuine, being caring, being concerning, being there as that scripture was telling us, when people who really do need genuine, heartfelt compassion and love, that we are willing to go there and not allow some other things to creep in and create a reason as to why we can't. Okay, tearing down those walls, but at the same time, being guarded because we have a job to do. And that job is we're going to love them, regardless of what's going on, regardless of what's in their life at the moment. But we got to be real about that love. It can't be tainted. And if we get this and we go on, we get to Acts in 2, starting at verse 36 and going on. Says, therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you've crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children, and all for who are far off. For all whom the Lord your God will call. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them. Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. This is the purpose. See, love in action when we, not just one, not just me, but we, And like get French classes today and just learn how to say one word in French. Okay? We, collective, group, as a whole, are responsible to do this. We have to understand that there is a purpose in our faith, and that purpose is not freedom from bondage and sin. It's actually the power to set others free. And that freedom doesn't come because you can preach the paint off of walls. Okay? It doesn't come because you're armed with 1,000 Bibles and you know every scripture verse from Genesis to Revelation. And you can recite it verbatim. It doesn't come because you're an eloquent speaker. It doesn't come because you are able to share testimony after testimony after testimony of all these great and wonderful things that God has done. It doesn't come through that. It comes through a genuine, heartfelt love and compassion for all of God's creation. And if you want to argue with me, what's going on in Acts? Read all of it. Because all Acts is dealing with is a bunch of people who don't want anything to do with Jesus, and a bunch of people who got set free from Jesus, and them continuing to just love the people that don't want anything to do with Jesus. And the ramifications of the hatred and the ill will that those people that don't love Jesus take out against the people that do love Jesus, and the fact that they don't retaliate. They just keep coming back with more love and compassion for those people. Acts. A whole bunch of chapters in one short book. Summarized. It's cliff notes. But it's true. And the reality of what we're hearing here in Acts, okay, is that the goal, the purpose is that when we understand what we're doing and we have that power in us to set others free, what else do we have the power to do? We have the power to share in our love and affection to our King. It's not just through me going over and loving, you know, Dan by bringing his family, you know, a dinner. I could do that. I mean, that's cool. That's a nice brotherly love thing to do. I'm not saying that that's not a good thing. That is. I think that's a great way to do it. That's one way to do it. But that's not the only way to do it. And we should not be so strict to make it all just one way. See, I do it not because, oh, my brother needed a meal. And that's the key. One of the things that I think a lot of believers have missed on this is that we only rise up to the occasion when the needs arise. We'll gather the troops and we'll get our forces together and we'll be a real testimony of God's love for this family because now they have need. Why did we have to wait for them to have need to know God's love? Why aren't we loving them every day? Why aren't we loving them all the time? Why aren't we showing them love as much as humanly possible? Why aren't we continuing in it after we've helped them in the need? Why aren't we following up with them? Why aren't we checking in on them? Why aren't we giving them a call, seeing how they're doing? How's this? I'm not saying be a nudge, but I'm saying it doesn't just become one act when need arises. That's not what we're doing. That's not the point. It's actually more than that. And when you get the concept of what you're doing is actual worship and dedication to loving your God, your King, priority, everything from that goes out. What do you mean? Well, if I spend an inordinate amount of time face to face with my God and my King, and I'm espousing my love for my God, and I'm espousing how much I love my Father and how much He's doing for me, what do you think is going to come out of that? One of two things. It's either A, I'm selfishly going to keep it all for myself, and it's going to be me and Jesus, and I'm going to go in my room and I'm going to sing Alleluia to God by myself because He's good to me, and my God is good to me, and I'm going to keep it there. Or God is going to pour out so many great and wonderful things in my life, I can't contain them, that I'm going to go and give them to everybody I see fit to. That the Lord leads me to, directs my steps to, and wants me to bless. That's part of my worship. What else does it give us the ability to do? It gives us the freedom to celebrate what makes us unique in Christ, which is we are one. We are one. Do you understand what that means? One body, united under one man's blood. Those dividing walls come down, all that stuff comes away. We actually become the body of Christ. Imagine that. What is the body of Christ supposed to do? It's actually supposed to function. Last time I checked, it's not a corpse. Although it might seem like one as of late, because the body of Christ hasn't been doing a whole heck of a lot. It's been just lying there, comatose. It's sad. But if we're committed to loving people, we're going to get the paddles clear, and we're going to shock some jewels into the life of this body of Christ, and we're going to start doing something about that. Amen? Amen? Oh, that was me. Come on, church. Come on. I mean, I know I just shocked you to life, but, I mean, you could act like you enjoyed it a little bit. All right? So what is that actually calling out then? What it's actually calling out and addressing is that we have to get comfortable with a new lifestyle. We have to get comfortable with a new lifestyle that is actually one that takes into consideration love in action and our responsibility and commitment to this work. Okay? It's not what we say, but what we do. Galatians 5, and this is the last scripture for today. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Mark my words. I, Paul, tell you, I'm not Paul, that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. But by faith we eagerly await through the Spirit of righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. What is this scripture talking about? Here's what it is telling you. There is going to be a bunch of things that are going to come up through your time with the Lord, spent in research and learning. There are governmental forces that are trying to create new regulations and new laws and new standards of what you're supposed to adapt into your course of action and beliefs for how you live your very existence in everyday life. And you actually have a choice to make. Are you going to stand firm on what God says and the freedom that you have in Christ, or are you going to align yourself with the laws and ordinances of what the world states and dictates? Because here's what the world wants to do. The world wants to put you back into bondage and slavery. That's what it wants. Why? Because it doesn't like the body of Christ being out walking, living, and doing God's work. Because it's afraid. It's terrified of what will actually happen if men and women of God actually catch this vision and start setting captives free. Because what would happen? Think about this. Just think about this. Imagine the entire House of Representatives of the United States government, the entire Senate, all of the judges, and the President of the United States all believing in the power of God and the power of Christ Jesus as moving in faith and believing what God wants to do. Do you have any idea what would happen? Besides a bunch of people who would like be literally like, I don't even know what they'd be doing in the streets. It would be really odd. But just take a minute and imagine what would happen. I'm not saying we have to go and take over the government. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm trying to get you to understand is that right now, that's not the case. So what you have is a bunch of people who are creating laws and creating decisions for you and what you need to do that isn't based on the Word of God, but actually based on the exact opposite. Remember what we started this with, how evil is going to not align itself with love. There are counter opposites. So when the Love of God says that we must love all life. There's going to be laws that come out and say, oh no, you can kill innocent babies. It's legal and it's allowed. It's okay. It's going to hurt for us to stand in direct opposition to those things. I know that there was that bill that Moira was out there protesting, and thank God tore it down because it wanted to take away your freedom. I know. They're going to keep trying. Just like they're going to keep trying to impeach the president. I mean, it's what they want to do. They want control. So what is Galatians really telling us to do? Well, it's not telling us to just go ahead and be lawbreakers. So I want to clarify that. I'm not telling you to go do like a buck 20 down, you know, Cross Keys Road. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what we're trying to tell you to do. Okay? But I am trying to get you to understand something, that what law and everything that they're talking about here in Galatians is trying to do is keep you in bondage. It wants to return you back to the systems of the world that have you under the world's control. And the world doesn't belong to God right now. I want you to understand that. It doesn't belong to Jesus. It doesn't belong to him. It belongs to your enemy. It belongs to Satan. The title and deed that Adam had was given over to Satan in the garden. Jesus will give it back. He will take it back. But it isn't his yet. He's waiting on us, okay? But the laws and the rules of the world will continue to try to ensnare us into its standards. The only thing that counts, and that's the key, if you take anything out of this entire message today, is that there is only one thing that counts, and it's right there at the end of Galatians, is faith expressing itself through love. Expression of our faith through love. The action of your faith moving forward through love. If we do nothing, and that's all we do, is we express our faith in our God and our King and our faith in Christ Jesus by loving every single person we come in contact with the honest and purest love, not just what we say, because love, you can say all day long how much you love everybody. The world does a really good job of telling you it loves you. But it doesn't love you. Take a minute and just imagine this. The whole body of streams expressing our united faith through our lifestyle of love towards each other, our connected body parts, and those that we reach out towards. What would that look like? And by connected body parts, just imagine that streams is like an appendix. It's connected to another thing. Well, actually, no, I think the appendix is kind of just sitting there all by itself, actually. Not a good example. Scratch that and moving on. try the kidneys. That's better. It's attached to something, okay? It's sitting there, though, you know? But it's always kind of just off in its own, you know? Yeah. I don't want to talk about, like, gallbladders or tonsils, because a lot of people don't even have them, okay? You know, I don't want to say disposable or appendix either. Yeah, that's why I said I'm going to scratch appendix and not put gallbladder or tonsils in there either. I have all of mine, actually. I'm still working in all my parts. I haven't broken anything, thanks to the Lord. Okay? But, you know, if you recognize the body of Christ is not just, we're not the whole body. Okay? We're not. We are a part of the whole body. So when I say connected parts, that actually means that we have to put down those walls that divide even us from denominationalism. That we're not going to be willing to work with the Catholics or a group of Baptists or a group of Presbyterians or a group of, you know, roll out the next one. We have to recognize the body of Christ is a tight-knit group of people who believe in the saving power of Jesus Christ, who want to see his kingdom here on earth. And if we got that down, then if I'm a liver and you're a kidney, let's work together. All right? Let's do something. But the whole body coming together, what would that look like if we were actually working together as a collective whole, reaching out to those who don't understand truly what the love of Jesus actually looks like and feels like? If you're not sure what this looks like, I want to encourage you. I really do. I want to encourage you. Think really hard about taking an opportunity to find yourself in a mission field somewhere. I'm not saying you have to go to Guatemala. I'm not saying you have to go to a far off nation. Maybe you have a smaller mission trip where you go down to Atlantic City and you help feed people, or you go into Philly and you help the homeless and you work in a shelter or something like that. You don't have to go far to help. But trust me when I tell you, when you have worked in a missionary type field, I've done it. When I was in school, I was working in a food kitchen. I'd spend one day a week working in a food kitchen, putting meals together for people that were less fortunate. And they would pray over every meal, which I didn't even know that that was something that was happening. And I learned a lot about what missionaries really do. There's a lot of God's work, handiwork, and what goes on in the mission field. But let me illustrate something. You really don't understand how much there is a nation and nations of nations crying out for just that one time encounter to have somebody come and share the love of Christ with them. And it actually be real, not just espoused, not just words, not just empty, shallow, here's a Bible, work out your own salvation, figure it out. Not repaying any evils, not worrying about, you know, revenge and trying to have justice served because we were done some terrible wrong when we were five. There's a lot of evil that goes on in the world, and unfortunately, if some of us have received that evil, but that's not your problem anymore. If you've dealt with that and you've given it to the Lord, you are no longer a vessel of anger, malice, wrath, and rage. You are a vessel of God's love, care, compassion, gentleness, kindness. Everything that God says you are. And it's about time we started actually living it. So if we're committed to this today, and we're going to dedicate ourselves today, I want you to stand up. And I want you to just recognize that this is not a calling out. No, by no means is anybody here getting called out. By no means is anybody being dragged out for you not doing. But what it is we're going to come together today as a united front. And we're going to make a commitment that we're going to love people. We're going to love people. We are not going to associate with the works of the devil. We are not going to associate with evil. We are going to cancel out every evil deed and every evil act with acts of love and kindness towards this generation and these people that desperately need to feel the love of God. Amen? Amen. So, Father, I release your people, Father, today. I release your people to go forward, to take the love that you have for them, God, multiply it, grow it to an immense amount, God, that so much fruit would be produced, Lord, that they could not contain it. And that, Lord, they would become beacons of hope, God. They would be a light in dark places, God. That they would provide your love, your care, your compassion for those that do not have, God. They would not miss out on opportunities, God, but they would rejoice in every chance, God, that they have to be ambassadors of your love, God. I pray, Lord, that we would put down anything of ourselves, God, that would keep us from embracing this, God. Anything that would keep us from not being able to do this, that would not keep us worthy in your eyes to dispense this, God, that we would put down ourselves, our egos, our pride, God, any of the bitterness, resentment, anything, Lord, that we may have been carrying from years past, God. You will sort it all out in the end, God. But you have called us here at Streams, God, to love the unloved, to love those that would try to persecute us, that would try to condemn us, that would try to call us a cult, that would try to call us anything, God, that would be unbecoming of you. But Lord, we will love them. And we won't love them by our words, we will love them by our deeds. We will love them by our actions. We will love them through a lifestyle and a continual practice, God, that we will put on Christ first and put ourselves down, that you would be glorified in every opportunity, in every moment. We give you all today, God, and we release your authority in our lives to lead and direct us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.